Hello to my wonderful partner. It's this wonderful Wednesday. May the Lord bless you. Very, very important teaching today that I think we really need to see what the Bible has to say about it. How to overcome this religious spirit going around today. You see people in the prophetic, it's all religious. You see people involved in total control, trying to control people, even controlling churches. So how do we deal with that? So thank you for joining me today. I'm so glad. Just want to say my hellos today. So let's see that there we go. So hello to, by the way, I'm going to wait till you all come on. Hello to Anita and Elling. Hello to Teresa. Hello to Moses from, he says, I'm Moses Nado from Pune, India. I've never heard of Pune, India. Wow. But welcome. Hello to Blessing Mom and Shioma. And hello to Anita keeps sending the same messages. God bless. Says, this is Abby, or Tess Abby, excuse me. Hello to Kale. Thank you, all of you, for joining me today. It's going to be really a precious time with you. Hello, Carolyn and Anita. Just waiting for a few more of you to come on. The numbers build really quickly like this, by the way, as I'm reading the names. So, hello, Nargis. Hello to Guatso On. I've told you many times, you have the most amazing names. Hello, Sylvia and Akram. Okay. Well, let's begin. Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you're going to show us today. Lord, I pray you'll bless your people. Bless your word to their hearts. Let this be clear. Let it be life-changing. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I give you the praise and the glory. And as people said, amen. All right, so how do we overcome these religious spirits running around today? Let's begin with 2 Timothy. And let's look at chapter 3 together. Very, very interesting information given to us in this chapter about what is a religious spirit. Well, let's look. In fact, you know what? I'm going to kind of show you, it's from verse 1 to verse 14. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to show you just portions of it. So Paul begins by saying, you know, perilous days are on the horizon. Men will be lovers of their own selves and covetous and so on, without natural affections, traitors, heady, high-minded. And then in verse 5, he hits on what is a religious spirit. He says, having a form of godliness. See? So they look godly, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So here we have a very clear-cut instruction to turn away from people who act godly, but they're not godly. Because he just went on, he had just finished saying, lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and so on. Traitors. And then he says, okay, from such people, you have to turn away because they may have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God altogether. And the power of God doesn't mean the anointing so they can pray and for the sick and see miracles and healings and signs and wonders, because a lot of those signs and wonders are false signs and wonders. They're not truly from the Lord. In some circles, I'm not saying everywhere. And then he says something quite very interesting in verse 7. Ever learning. Religious people are always into the Bible, but never coming to the truth of the Bible. Did you hear that, Chad?
Yes, sir.
They know the word, but they don't know the Lord. They worship doctrine. They don't worship God. Ever learning. So they're always into their Bible, into their, Bible books or whatever. But never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he explains it a little further, and people sometimes miss it in verse 8. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses. Who are James and Jambres? They were magicians in Pharaoh's court. So when Moses came and stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go, and he threw his rod down, which became a serpent, so did they. Who? James and Jambres. They were Egyptian magicians who were very educated, but involved in witchcraft, you know. So also he says, do these which resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. But they show a form of godliness. They show a form of godliness. And then if you read verse 13, it says that they're evil men and seducers. Seducers mean they seduce people. They're imposters is what the word really means. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now there's people today in this country, our country, the U.S., One especially quite famous that a lot of people listen to. He is one of these people, because under him are thousands of people, and he teaches things that are contrary to the word. He knows the Bible. They interview him on different stations. And he talks about the coming of the Lord and this and this and that. But no love, no mercy. Doesn't understand the grace of God. He understands the Bible, but not God. He doesn't understand God's grace. He doesn't understand God's truth. You know, Jesus dealt with people like that, called the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were always into the Bible. But what did they do? To the Lord himself, huh? And the Lord says in Matthew 16 something very interesting about them. Beginning at verse 5, he says, and Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the teaching of the Pharisees, and of the Sadducees. And they reason among themselves, saying, you know, is it because we've taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, O you of little faith, why are you reasoning among yourselves because you brought no bread? Don't you understand and remember the 5 loaves and 5,000, how many baskets? Or the 7 loaves and 4,000, how many baskets? How is it that you don't understand that I speak, that I'm not speaking about bread, but I'm speaking about the leaven, or the doctrine, or the teachings of the Pharisees. So, even the Lord here talks about the danger of false doctrine. Now, false doctrine is where someone knows the Bible, but doesn't know the Lord. Like the Pharisees. They knew the Bible. What did they know the Bible? But they did not recognize the Lord. Did not know the Lord himself. They denied him completely and denied the very God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus said, you don't even know him. He said, your father is the devil. Wow, that's strong language. So here they were religious, but the Lord said to them, you are children of the devil. And the Lord, describes them as leaven. Now leaven is like yeast when you put it into bread. It does not add to substance. It doesn't add nutritional values. It simply inflates. Did you know that, Chad? Yeast does not add nutrition to the bread. Or substance to the bread people cook. Yeast simply inflates, and once it gets in, it's impossible to remove it. Once you mix it with the dough, it's over. It's inside the dough. And all it does is inflate, meaning people become proud. Now, what does the Bible say about pride? It says God resists the proud in James 4:6. God will resist the proud. He'll give grace to the humble, but he'll not give grace to the proud. So that spirit of pride, you know, they look down at you. They tell you you're going to hell. They tell you things that are... I dealt with one of them years ago in California. Goodness gracious. Attacking on radio every single day. And I befriended him, wondering, why is this guy attacking me so much? And I had dinner with him one day, and he promised me, oh, you know, and his wife said, stop attacking Benny, stop attacking him. Because they saw my heart, or she saw my heart anyways, and he seemed to. And he kept attacking me, so one day I called him, I said, you promised not to. And he said, well, if I stop attacking you, the donations will not come, they'll die, people won't support me. I said, so, you attack me on radio so people can give you donations and money? That's a hypocrite. Finally, I gave up. I said, Lord, you're going to have to deal with that man because I don't want to deal with him. And he was attacking everybody you can imagine. He was attacking Kenneth Copeland, Catherine Kuhlman, Oral Roberts, Paul Crouch, and Jan Crouch. He was attacking all of us. And I thought to myself, well, let's just go have dinner with the guy. Maybe I can calm the guy down. And I did. And he said, so, you know, that's quite something. You should come and see me. Nobody else has reached out to me. So, well, I said, you know, I just want to see why you're attacking me and these people I know. Well, you're all false prophets, he said. That's what he said to me. He said, you're a false prophet. I said, well, let's talk about it. What am I teaching that's false? Oh, you teach nine gods. I said, hold it, man. That was a joke. I was joking in church, and sadly, it got on TV. He got on TV. I said, that's bizarre. Bizarre. And so he went on. And he said, well, you said this and this. I said, yeah, I was in my 20s when I said this stuff, and I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it anymore. Don't you give us a chance to grow? That's what I said to him. He said, well, you said it. I said, come on. Don't you understand we change? And we change opinions as we are young preachers. And then when we're older, we don't believe anymore what we... you know, thought was true, and we make it, you know, we change it, we make corrections, we tell people, hey, I don't believe that no more. You have no idea how much I don't believe anymore. I'm 69, and today, I see the Bible with, you know, cleaner lenses, you know. You know what I mean? Like, my lenses are clean. When I put my glasses on, they're not foggy. I can see the Bible clearly, and I can see Jesus clearly saying things about, you know, different subjects that I see differently today. But that's because we grow. Give me a chance to grow, fella. But he just won't do it. He said, you said it. You said it. I said, well, just because I said it, it doesn't mean I believe that today. We all say things in the past when we were young. You expect me to say the same thing today? Of course. But that's the religious demon. He will not give you a chance to grow. He doesn't accept growth. He doesn't know how to forgive. He doesn't accept that you've changed, you know. You've changed your opinion on certain things in life. So, Paul says, they have zeal for God, but no knowledge of God. Think about that. They have zeal, but no knowledge. Oh, there's a guy today blasting all of us. The guy just won't stop. But it's okay, you know, God will deal with it. He says, and you know, we ignore that. We really, you just, at the end you say, ah, fine, whatever. You know, go on, man, with your thing. So, Romans 10:2 says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They have no knowledge of God. They have a zeal like the Jews did, you know, the Pharisees, I mean. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believes. So here people who have a zeal, they mean well, you feel sorry for them. That guy that attacked me years ago, he meant well. He was actually a nice guy. In fact, I enjoyed talking to him. But his brain was somewhere else. So You just have to understand, it's just a spirit behind it. Really, I mean, you have to feel sorry for these guys. So they will persecute those who know the Lord, like Paul. Remember, Paul persecuted the believers till Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and changed his life. So they will persecute those of us that know the Lord, and we want to be better, we want to please Him. Many times we mess up, you know. Oral Roberts used to say to me, I've made mistakes by a truckload, you know. But his heart was precious. Oh, people attacked Paul and Jan Krauts left and right. They were the most precious people I ever knew. I'm saying to the whole world, I adored Paul and Jan Krauts. They did a lot for me, and I'm so thankful, really so thankful. And I'll ever be thankful to Paul and Jan. And dear sweet Jan, you know, she was just Jan, you know, she was just Jan. But her heart was pure towards God. I knew her. That dear woman loved the Lord Jesus with all her heart. She was a true soul winner. And so was Paul. And that fella I was talking about was attacking them. And I said, why are you attacking Paul and Jan? Plus me and everybody else. Well, you're all this, you're all this. I said, don't you understand we all love the Lord Jesus? And we're not perfect. You may be perfect in your own eyes, I said to the guy. But we're not perfect. We want to be one day like the Lord, but we're not there yet. So give us a chance to grow. We just won't listen. So, you know what is so amazing to me? It's amazing that the Lord Jesus had no trouble with demons, his trouble with the Pharisees. Think about that, Chad. Demons bowed to his word, you know, but not the Pharisees. So demons, I mean, when the Lord showed up and there were devils around, they all bowed and ran away, you know. And they claimed him to be the Son of God, and he had to rebuke him, say, be quiet. But those Pharisees fought him. So the Pharisees were meaner to the Lord than the devils. Think about that one. So amazing. The Lord has had no troubles with demons. He just cast them out and they fled. But those Pharisees, those religious spirits, those religious people opposed him. And finally, they cried, crucify him. So, here you see that religious devil, you know, going about. And religious demons, that's witchcraft. They want to control the situation. They want to be in control, you know. 2 Corinthians 11 says something also interesting to us. I'll have to continue this, by the way, tomorrow. I guess you realize that, right? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves unto the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, he says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. Wow. So here you have where Paul the apostle clearly states in 2 Corinthians 11:13 that there are false apostles, deceitful workers, who transform themselves into the apostles of Christ, but they are not. And here's what they delight in. Listen to Colossians 2, most revealing. In Colossians 2 and verse 6, Paul says something interesting. He says about these. No, sorry. Let me just go to Colossians 2:18 first, and then I'll go back. He says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hadn't seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding the head, meaning Jesus, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with increase of God. You know what is so incredible when you read these portions of the Bible? These people who are religious demons, frankly, are behind them. These people delight in your abasement, in your, you know, when you're losing, they delight in it. Because he says very, very clearly in verse 18, he says, let no man beguile you. Let no man defraud you in a voluntary humility, in false humility. Don't let them treat you in a way they don't understand who you are in Jesus, you know, because they're not holding the head, Jesus, and his body in a proper way. They don't see you in a proper way. So when you look at these religious spirits, they delight in your humiliation. They worship anything but the Lord. And they will not forgive you for things you've done in the past that you no longer do. And if you say, I'm sorry, they just won't do it. And they don't understand what growing in grace is all about. They don't understand that we're always progressing. We're always growing. We all will make mistakes, you know, here and there, and then clean it all up. So I love what Paul the Apostle says in Galatians. There's a lot I want to talk about tomorrow. I'm not getting into right now because of time. But I will discuss it tomorrow. That I think will really help you. So one of the things that, oh goodness gracious, I'm down to 2 minutes. I better maybe stop. But one of the things that's happening today is you see preachers trying to control people in churches. They find fault with others rather than themselves. They tear down what they don't believe, things like that. So we'll deal with that tomorrow. They understand more philosophy than they understand about the Lord himself. So I'll tell you stories that happened to me tomorrow too as I'm teaching. Father, I thank you for what your word tells us. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace. You allow us to be who we are and to grow and develop in you. Now, Lord, bless your people and help them understand this message. And, Lord, deliver them if they're under someone's control. Deliver them from that witchcraft, that demon spirit of witchcraft that wants to control them through people. In the sweet name of Jesus, I give you praise. Amen, amen. You know how widespread this thing is? It's in homes, it's in marriages where the husband wants to control the wife because he's religious and he thinks she's not enough, religious enough, or the wife doing that to the husband. And today you've got a spirit out there in this country that is a religious spirit but has become political. And that's what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. It's into the prophetic, but it's not true prophecy. But it's totally a religious spirit behind it. Okay, we'll talk tomorrow about it. Don't miss it. Okay, it's time to give to the Lord's work. I think you all know, a true Christian is a giver. Anyone who doesn't give cannot convince me that that person loves the Lord. You just can't. You cannot be a lover of Jesus and not give to the Lord's work. You just can't. Because for God so loved, he gave, and if you love, you give. And it's interesting, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, prove the sincerity of your love. So it's time now to say, Jesus, I love you. Here's my offering, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in my life, and thank you for what you're doing in my life. And thank you for what you're going to do for me in the future. Protect the Lord from financial harm. I give you praise. Amen. Lord, bless them. Bless them. Bless them financially. Big time. In Jesus' name, and protect them. All right. Now you can sow your seed on that platform you're watching me on, whatever platform you're watching me on, where they allow it. You just go to the button that says donate. It's right there. Or you can go to our website, benihin.org, or simply text BHM 45777. We're coming up with a new app, so prepare to look for it. I'm going to probably call it Atmosphere for Healing Network. Atmosphere for Healing Network app. So it's going to have a lot of, on-demand videos. It'll be like a network, and you'll see me live also. But you can watch a lot of material that we have that we want to put on the new app. And it'll be a combination where you can actually make comments, where we can read your comments, you can send messages. It's going to be quite interesting. So be looking for it. Much love. Shalom.